Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. Study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. We've been going through the stories of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, and we come now to chapter 7. Jesus was approached by the Pharisees and some of the scribes. These were the religious leaders of the Jews, you remember. They had come up to Jerusalem, and they noticed that Jesus' disciples ate their meals with common hands, meaning that they had not gone through a ceremonial washing. The Pharisees, and indeed all the Jews, will never eat unless they have washed their hands in a particular way following a traditional rule, and they will not eat anything bought in the market until they have first performed their sprinkling. And there are many other things which they consider important concerned with the washing of cups, jugs, and basins. So the Pharisees and the scribes put this question to Jesus: why do your disciples refuse to follow the ancient tradition and eat their bread with common or unwashed hands? And Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah described you beautifully when he wrote, 'This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' You are so busy holding on to the traditions of men that you let go the commandments of God." So the disciples, eating without washing their hands, had managed to precipitate this accusation from the Pharisees, who were the doctors of the law. And they were always on the spot, eager to make every accusation that they could against any irregularities that they saw in Jesus' behavior or the behavior of his disciples. And they could see that Jesus didn't share their reverence for legal formality. So they spied on him. They jumped on every slightest offense and were making a list, I suppose, of evidence against him. After the first sin, few names are mentioned, but there were rare individuals who trusted God and remained true to him through the darkness. Now, you remember who the first sinners were, don't you? Adam and Eve. And when you read the Old Testament and you read those accounts of Adam and Eve, their refusal to obey God, and then Cain, their son, his murder of his brother, there are not very many names mentioned of those rare individuals who trusted God. But the time came in all those years of seeming darkness when God called one man, Abraham, to leave his country and his people and to establish a new beginning. He followed into the unknown, into the dark, and he held fast to his faith through trials and uncertainties. It is amazing when you think of the unreasonable, seemingly unreasonable, and frightening demand that God made on Abraham. He said, "Leave your country and go to a place that you don't know about, that I will show you." And we have Jesus here in this New Testament account saying to these accusers of his, "It's wonderful to see how you can set aside the commandment of God to preserve your own tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor thy father and thy mother, and he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, Korban, meaning I have given God whatever I owed to you, then he need not lift a finger any longer for his father or mother,' so making the word of God invalid. for the sake of the tradition which you hold. And this is typical of much of what you do. You see, Jesus is pointing out the danger of legalism, of holding to the letter of the law and forgetting about the Spirit. Now, do you remember when the law came in? It was, of course, through Moses. But that was after this story of Abraham, who was such a shining example throughout all those dark ages of faith, an example of trust and obedience. One of the hymns that we used to sing in our family prayers at home was, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And if you want to have a definition of what it is that I talk about on Gateway to Joy, I think those two words would pretty well cover it. I do want to help all of you to trust God. And as I prepare these talks, I realize how much I still have to learn about trusting Him and how much more faithful I need to ask Him to help me to be, that I may be obedient. Trust and obey. And His descendants, the descendants of Abraham, we're talking about now, were meant to live in the same kind of faith that he had demonstrated. He had led the way. He was Father Abraham, the one setting the example of faith. You remember that tremendous test that God gave him, asking him to offer up his only son, Isaac. And Abraham passed that test. God did not require the final sacrifice, but provided in Isaac's place a ram. But his descendants did not follow that kind of faith. In Egypt, they loved the flesh pots. They distrusted God. They feared. They were angry. They had to go into forced labor. And they no longer served God in the freedom of faith. And so God called Moses. And again, he made a covenant. And this time, it was called the law. And this law was developed through the centuries till it filled every branch of Jewish life. And it became the life of the nation, a nation strictly controlled by laws, very complicated observances, which affected literally every area of their lives. And eventually, it became so complicated that it was just impossible for anyone to observe perfectly. And this was simply a way of God's having to teach His people that no one can ever fulfill God's demands. So all are lost. We find in the New Testament the explanation of all of this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law came in order to show that all of us are helpless and hopeless without God Himself. And God made a covenant which was founded on faith and grace. He asked a loyalty of them, and He, in loyalty and love to His people, gave grace. And that's what our Christian life depends on too, doesn't it? Our trust and God's grace. The two things work together. But even that was corrupted. It became a charter of rights and demands. And then, as Jesus is pointing out here to these Jews that were living in His day, terrible hypocrisy. The law became a matter of rules and regulations that were on paper, and constant accusations of everybody that wasn't as righteous as they thought themselves. And Jesus was very clear in His denunciation of their self-righteousness and hypocrisy. On the outside, He said, "You clean the cup on the outside, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones. You're like whited sepulchers, tombstones. And inside, there's hardness." And we see in Mark 7 the horrible perversity of man's pride and reason in defense of the law. The kind of pride and reason in defense of the law which completely rules out the supreme law, which is love. Jesus said, if you love, you're following all the commands. Love is the fulfillment of the law. These people were paying tithes. They were strict about that. They washed the outside of the cup, and disregarded justice and the love of God. And they accused Jesus of eating corn on the Sabbath day. So he says to the crowd, "Listen to me now, all of you, and understand this. There is nothing outside of a man which can enter into him and make him common. It is the things which come out of a man that make him common or unclean." And later, when he had gone away indoors from the crowd, his disciples asked him about this parable. And he said, "Oh, are you as dull as they are? Can't you see that anything that goes into a man from outside cannot make him common or unclean? You see, it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and passes out of the body altogether. So that all food is clean enough. But whatever comes out of a man, that is what makes a man unclean. For it is from inside, from men's hearts and minds, that evil thoughts arise." And don't we all know the truth of that? We know that's true. Out of our hearts and minds come evil thoughts: lust, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil things come from inside a man and make him unclean. How easily we judge appearances. God looks on the heart. Lord, we pray that you will deliver us from the letter of the law and teach us that spirit. Teach us to love you, Lord, in such a way as to desire to please you. Cleanse our hearts. Deliver us from hypocrisy. And may we be shining lights in the world, for Jesus' sake.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.